actually three sisters. But Prince Renarin quite unfairly ended up with two of them, and I didn't wish to diminish my reputation, but...
Wit! Perhaps you should restrict your mockery to those who deserve it.
Bright Lord Dalinar, I believe that's what I was doing.
Dalinar's frown deepened. He never had liked Wit, and picking on Renarin was a sure way to raise his ire. Adolin could understand that, but Wit was almost always good-natured with Renarin. Wit moved to leave, passing Dalinar as he did. Wit leaned over.
Those who deserve my mockery are those who can benefit from it, Bright Lord Dalinar. That one is less fragile than you think him.
He winked, then turned his horse to move on over the bridge.
Storm winds, but I like that man. Best wit we've had in ages.
I find him unnerving.
But that's half the fun.
Dalinar said nothing. The three of them crossed the bridge, passing Wit, who had stopped to torment a group of officers. Light eyes of low enough rank that they needed to serve in the army and earn a wage. Wit poked fun at one of them. The three of them joined the king and were immediately approached by the day's huntmaster, Bashan. Bashan was a short man with a sizable paunch. He wore rugged clothing with a leather overcoat and a wide-brimmed hat. He was a Dark Eyes of the First Nun, the highest and most prestigious rank a Dark Eyes could have, worthy even of marrying into a light-eyed family.
Your Majesty, wonderful timing. We've just tossed down the bait.
Excellent.
How long will it take?
2 or 3 hours is likely. We've set up over there.
Bashan pointed toward the hunting plateau, the smaller plateau where the actual fighting would take place away from the attendants and the bulk of the soldiers. A group of hunters led a lumbering chull around its perimeter, towing a rope draped over the side of the cliff. That rope would be dragging the bait.
We're using hog carcasses, and we poured hog's blood over the sides. The chasm fiend has been spotted by patrols here a good dozen times. He's got his nest nearby for certain. He's not here to pupate. He's too big for that, and he's remained in the area too long. So it should be a fine hunt. Once he arrives, we'll loose a group of wild hogs as distractions, and you can begin weakening him with arrows.
They had brought grand bows. Large steel bows with thick strings and such a high draw weight that only a shard bearer could use them to fire shafts as thick as 3 fingers. They were recent creations devised by Alethi engineers through the use of Fabriel science, and each required a small infused gemstone to maintain the strength of its pull without warping the metal. Adolin's aunt Navani, the widow of King Gavilar, mother of Elikar and his sister Yasna, had led the research to develop the bows.
Would be nice if she hadn't left.
Navani was an interesting woman. Things were never boring around her. Some had started calling the bows shard bows, but Adolin didn't like the term. Shard blades and shard plate were something special, relics from another time, a time when the Radiance had walked Roshar. No amount of Fabriel science had even approached recreating them. Bashan led the king and his high princes toward a pavilion at the center of the viewing plateau. Adolin joined his father, intending to give a report on the crossing. About half of the soldiers were in place, but many of the attendants were still making their way across the large, permanent bridge onto the viewing plateau. The king's banner flapped above the pavilion, and a small refreshment stand had been erected. A soldier at the back was setting up the rack of 4 grand bows. They were sleek and dangerous-looking, with thick shafts and 4 quivers beside them.
I think you'll have a fine day for the hunt. Judging by reports, the beast is a big one. Larger than you've ever slain before, Bright Lord.
Gavilar always wanted to slay one of these. He loved great shell hunts, though he never got a chasm fiend. Odd that now I've killed so many.
You need to go for the legs on this one, Bright Lords.
Pre-hunt advice was one of Bashan's responsibilities, and he took those seriously.
Chasm fiends? Well, you're used to attacking them in their chrysalises. Don't forget how mean they are when they're not pupating. With one this big, use a distraction and come in from... Storms take that animal! I swear, the man who trained it must have been daft!
Bashan looked across at the next plateau. Adolin followed his glance. The crab-like chull that had been towing the bait was lumbering away from the chasm with a slow yet determined gait. Its handlers were running after it.
I'm sorry, Bright Lord. It's been doing this all day.
Something seemed wrong to Adolin.
We can send for another one. It shouldn't take too long.
Bastion, shouldn't there be bait on the end of that beast's rope?
The Huntmaster froze. The rope the Chul was towing was frayed at the end. Something dark, something mind-numbingly enormous, rose out of the cabin on thick chitinous legs. It climbed onto the plateau, not the small plateau where the hunt was supposed to take place, but the viewing plateau where Dalinar and Adolin stood. The plateau filled with attendants, unarmed guests, female scribes, and unprepared soldiers.
Oh, damnation! I realize that you are probably still angry. That is pleasant to know. Much as your perpetual health, I have come to rely upon your dissatisfaction with me. It is one of the Cosmere's great constants, I should think.
10 heartbeats.
1.
That was how long it took to summon a shard blade. If Dalinar's heart was racing, the time was shorter. If he was relaxed, it took longer.
2.
On the battlefield, the passing of those beats could stretch like an eternity. He pulled his helm on as he ran.
3.
The chasm fiend slammed an arm down, smashing the bridge filled with attendants and soldiers. Dalinar dashed forward on plate-enhanced legs, following the king.
4.
The chasm fiend towered like a mountain of interlocking carapace, the color of dark violet ink. Dalinar could see why the Parshendi called these things gods. It had a twisted arrowhead-like face with a mouth full of barbed mandibles. While it was vaguely crustacean, this was no bulky, placid chul. It had 4 wicked foreclaws set into broad shoulders, each claw the size of a horse, and a dozen smaller legs that clutched the side of the plateau.
5.
The creature finished pulling itself onto the plateau, snatching a cart-pulling chul with a swift claw.
6.
Two arms! Two arms! Archers! Fire!
7.
Distracted from the unarmed!
The creature cracked the chul's shell. Platter-sized fragments fell to the plateau, then stuffed the beast into its maw.
8.
Dalinar leaped a rocky shelf and sailed 5 yards before slamming into the ground.
9.
Archers drew. Dalinar's hand tingled with anticipation.
10.
His shard blade, Oathbringer, formed in his hand, coalescing from mist, appearing as the 10th beat of his heart thudded in his chest. 6 feet long from tip to hilt, the blade would have been unwieldy in the hands of any man not wearing shard plate. To Dalinar, it felt perfect. He'd carried Oathbringer since his youth, bonding to it when he was 20 weepings old. It was long and slightly curved, a hand span wide, with wave-like serrations near the hilt. It curved at the tip like a fisherman's hook and was wet with cold dew. This sword was a part of him. He could sense energy racing along its blade as if it were eager. A man never really knew life itself until he charged into battle with plate and blade.
Make it angry!
Elikar's shard blade, Sunraiser, sprang from mist into his hand. It was long and thin with a large cross guard and was etched up the sides with the 10 fundamental glyphs. He didn't want the monster to escape. Dalinar could hear it in his voice. Dalinar was more worried about the soldiers and attendants. This hunt had already turned terribly wrong. Perhaps they should distract the monster long enough for everyone to escape, then pull back and let it dine on chulls and hogs. The creature slammed a claw down among the soldiers. Archers loosed, aiming for the head. 100 shafts shot into the air, but only a few hit the soft muscle between plates of chitin. Sadius's grand bow was delivered to him. Dalinar couldn't wait for that. The creature was here, dangerous, killing his men. The bow would be too slow. This was a job for the blade. Adolin charged past, riding Sureblood. The lad had gone racing for his horse rather than charging like Elikar had. Dalinar himself had been forced to stay with the king. The other horses, even the war horses, panicked, but Adolin's white Rashadian stallion held steady. In a moment, Gallant was there, trotting beside Dalinar. Dalinar grabbed the reins and heaved himself into the air with plate-enhanced legs jumping up into the saddle. Elikar closed his helms, the sides misting.
Hold back, your majesty! Wait until Adolin and I weaken it!
Dalinar reached up, slamming down his own visor. The sides misted, locking it into place, and the sides of the helm became translucent to him. He still needed the eye slit. Looking through the sides was like looking through dirty glass, but the translucence was one of the most wonderful parts of shard plate. Dalinar rode into the monster's shadow. Soldiers scrambled about, clutching spears. They hadn't been trained to fight 30-foot-tall beasts, and it was a testament to their valor that they formed up anyway, trying to draw attention away from the archers and the fleeing attendants. Adolin fell back as the beast swung at a batch of archers, crushing them with one of its claws.
I'll take left!
Dalinar nodded. Cutting to the right, galloping past a group of dazed soldiers and into sunlight again as the chasm fiend raised a foreclaw for another sweep. Dalinar raced under the limb, transferring Oathbringer to his left hand and holding the sword out to the side, slashing it through one of the chasm fiend's trunk-like legs. The blade sheared the thick chitin with barely a tug of resistance. As always, it didn't cut living flesh, though it killed the leg as surely as if it had been cut free. The large limb slipped, falling numb and useless. On the other side, Dalinar could make out Adolin slicing at a leg. The creature shook, turning toward Dalinar. The two legs that had been cut dragged lifelessly. The monster was long and narrow like a crayfish and had a flattened tail. It walked on 14 legs. How many could it lose before collapsing? Dalinar rounded Gallant, meeting up with Adolin, whose blue shard plate was gleaming, cape streaming behind him. They switched sides as they turned in wide arcs, each heading for another leg.
Meet your enemy, monster!
Dalinar turned. The king had found his mount and had managed to get it under control. Vengeance wasn't a Rashadium, but the animal was of the best shin stock. Yeah! Astride the animal, Elikar charged, blade held above his head. There was no forbidding him the fight. He should be all right in his plate, so long as he kept moving.
The legs, Elikar!
Elikar ignored him, charging directly for the beast's chest. Dalinar heeled Gallant as the monster swung. Elikar turned at the last moment, leaning low, ducking under the blow. The king veered toward Dalinar, riding past him in a rush.
I'm distracting you, you fool! Keep attacking!
I have the Rashadium! I'll distract! I'm faster!
Elikar ignored him again. Characteristically, he could not be contained. Arguing would only cost more time and more lives, so Dalinar did as he'd been told. He rounded to the side for another approach. The king drew the monster's direct attention, and Dalinar was able to ride in and slam his blade through another leg. The beast turned toward Dalinar, but as it did, Adolin rode past on the other side, cutting at another leg with a deft strike. The leg slumped. The arrows rained down as archers continued to fire. The creature shook, confused by the attacks coming from every side. It was getting weak, and Dalinar raised his arm, gesturing. The command ordered the rest of the foot soldiers to retreat toward the pavilion. Orders given, he slipped in and killed another leg. That meant five down. Perhaps it was time to let the beast limp away. Killing it now wasn't worth risking lives.
Pull back!
The king glanced at him, but obviously didn't hear. As the chasm fiend loomed in the background, Elikar wheeled vengeance in a sharp right turn toward Dalinar. Suddenly, the king and his saddle went tumbling through the air. The horse's quick turn had caused the saddle girth to break. A man in shard plate was heavy and put a great strain on both his mount and saddle. Dalinar felt a spike of fear, and he reined in Gallant. Elikar slammed to the ground, dropping his shard blade. The weapon reverted to mist, vanishing. It was a protection, keeping a blade from being taken by your enemies. They vanished, unless you will them to stay when releasing them.
Elikar!
The king rolled, cape wrapping around his body, then came to rest. He lay dazed for a moment. The armor was cracked on one shoulder, leaking stormlight. The plate would have cushioned the fall. He'd be all right.
Unless...
The claw loomed above the king. Dalinar felt a moment of panic, turning Galen to charge toward the king.
I'm gonna be too slow. The beast will...
An enormous arrow slammed into the chasm fiend's head, cracking chitin. Dalinar twisted in the saddle. Sadeas stood in his red plate, taking another massive arrow from an attendant. He drew, launching the thick bolt into the chasm fiend's shoulder. Dalinar raised Oathbringer in salute. Sadeas acknowledged raising his bow. They were not friends, and they did not like one another, but they would protect the king. That was the bond that united them.
Get to safety!
Elikar stumbled to his feet and nodded. Dalinar moved in. He had to distract the beast long enough for Elikar to get away. More of Sadeas' arrows flew true, but the monster started to ignore them. It was growing truly enraged. This was the most dangerous part. There would be no retreating now. It would follow them until it either killed them or was slain. A claw smashed to the ground just beside Gallant. Dalinar hunkered low, careful to keep his shard blade out, and he cut free another leg. Adolin had done the same on the other side.
Seven legs down, half of them. How long before the beast drops?
Normally at this stage, they had launched several dozen arrows into the animal. It was difficult to guess what one would do without that prior softening. Beside that, he'd never fought one this large before. He turned Gallant, trying to draw the creature's attention.
Hopefully Elikar is...
Are you a god?
Dalinar looked over his shoulder. The king had not fled. He strode toward the beast, hand to the side.
I defy you, creature! I claim your life! They will see their gods crushed, just as they will see their king dead at my feet! I defy you!
Damnation's own fool!
Elikar's shard blade reformed in his hands, and he charged toward the monster's chest. He got close and swung at the beast's torso, cutting free a piece of chitin. Like a person's hair or nails, it could be cut by a blade. Then Elikar slammed his weapon into the monster's breast, seeking its heart. The beast shook, knocking Elikar free. The king barely kept hold of his blade. The beast spun. That movement, unfortunately, brought its tail at Dalinar. He yanked Gallant in a tight turn, but the tail came too quickly. It slammed into Gallant. And in a heartbeat, Dalinar found himself rolling, Oathbringer tumbling from his fingers and slicing a gash in the stone ground before puffing to mist.
Father!
Dalinar came to rest on the stones dizzy. He raised his head to see Gallant stumbling to his feet. Blessedly, the horse hadn't broken a leg, though the animal bled from scrapes and was favoring one leg.
Away!
The command word would send the horse to safety. Unlike Elikar, it would obey. Dalinar climbed to his feet, unsteady, and spun just in time for the chasm fiend's tail to take him in the chest, tossing him backward. As the sky spun, something seemed to right, as if the plate itself knew which way was up. He landed, still moving, feet grinding on stone. He got his balance, then charged toward the king, beginning the process of summoning his shard blade again. 10 heartbeats, an eternity. The archers continued to fire, and more than a few of their shafts bristled from the chasm fiend's face. It ignored them, although Sadeas' larger arrows still seemed to distract it. Adolin sheared through another leg, and the creature lumbered uncertainly, 8 of its 14 legs dragging uselessly.
Father!
Dalinar turned to see Renarin, dressed in a stiff blue Colin uniform with a long coat buttoning to the neck, riding across the rocky ground.
Father, are you well? Can I help?
Fool boy, go!
But
you're unarmored and unarmed! Get back before you get yourself killed! Go!
Renarin galloped away. Dalinar turned and ran toward Elikar, Oathbringer misting into existence in his waiting hand. Elikar continued to hack at the beast's lower torso, and sections of flesh blackened and died when the shard blade struck. If he rammed the shard blade in just right, he could stop the heart or lungs, but that would be difficult while the beast was upright. Adolin, stalwart as always, dismounted beside the king. He tried to stop the claws striking at them as they fell. Unfortunately, there were 4 claws and only one of Adolin. 2 swung at him at once. Though Adolin sliced a chunk out of one, he didn't see the other sweeping at his back. His plate didn't shatter, thank the heralds, but the breastplate and side cracked widely, leaking trails of white smoke.
No time to think about him now.
Elikar was alone. The beast struck, pounding the ground beside the king, knocking him off his feet. His blade vanished, and Elikar fell face first on the stones. Something changed inside of Dalinar. Reservations vanished. Other concerns became meaningless. His brother's son was in danger. He had failed Gavilar, had lain drunk in his wine while his brother fought for his life. Dalinar should have been there to defend him. Only two things remained of his beloved brother, two things that Dalinar could protect in a hope to earn some form of redemption: Gavilar's kingdom and Gavilar's son. Elikar was alone and in danger. Nothing else mattered. Adolin shook his head, dazed. He slammed his visor up. Before his mind was even clear, Adolin began summoning his blade again and forced himself to his hands and knees. The monster loomed a short distance away, a dark shadow upon the sky. Adolin had fallen near its right side. As his vision lost its fuzziness, he saw that the king was down and his armor was cracked from the blow he'd taken earlier. The chasm fiend raised a massive claw, preparing to slam it down. Adolin knew, suddenly, that disaster was upon them. The king would be killed on a simple hunt. The kingdom would shatter, the high princes divided, the one tenuous link that kept them together cut away.
No!
Adolin tried to stumble forward, and then he saw his father. Dalinar charged toward the king, moving with a speed and grace no man, not even one wearing shard plate, should be able to manage. He leaped over a rock shelf, then ducked and skidded beneath a claw swinging for him. Other men thought they understood shard blades and shard plate, but Dalinar Kalin, at times, he proved them all children. Dalinar straightened and leaped, still moving forward, cresting by inches a second claw that smashed down. It was all just a moment, a breath. The third claw was falling toward the king, and Dalinar leapt forward. He dropped his blade. It hit the ground and puffed away as he skidded beneath the falling claw. He raised his hands and... he caught the claw. He bent beneath the blow, going down on one knee, but he caught it. Adolin's breath caught in his chest. Dalinar held back the claw and matched its strength, a figure in dark, silvery metal that almost seemed to glow. That moment, Adolin knew he was seeing him. The Black Thorn, the very man he'd been wishing he could fight alongside. The plate of Dalinar's gauntlets and shoulders began to crack, webs of light moving down the ancient metal. Adolin finally shook himself into motion. His shard blade formed in his hand, and he scrambled to the side and sheared through the leg nearest to him. With so many legs down, the beast's other legs couldn't hold its weight, particularly when it was trying so hard to crush Dalinar. The remaining legs on its right side snapped, spraying out violet ichor, and the beast toppled to the side. Dalinar tossed aside the now limp claw, stormlight from the many cracks steaming above him. Nearby, the king picked himself up off the ground. It had been mere seconds since he'd fallen. Elikar stumbled to his feet, looking at the fallen beast. Then he turned to his uncle, the Blackthorn. Dalinar nodded thankfully to Adolin, then gestured sharply toward what passed for the beast's neck. Elikar nodded, then summoned his blade and rammed it deeply into the monster's flesh. The creature's uniform green eyes blackened and shriveled, smoke twisting into the air. Adolin walked up to join his father, watching as Elikar plunged his blade into the chasm fiend's chest. Now that the beast was dead, the blade could cut its flesh. Violet ichor spurted out, and Elikar dropped his blade and reached into the wound, questing with plate-enhanced arms, grabbing something. He ripped free the beast's gem heart, the enormous gemstone that grew within all chasm fiends. It was lumpy and uncut, but it was a pure emerald and as big as a man's head. It was the largest gem heart Adolin had ever seen, and even the small ones were worth a fortune. Elakar held aloft the grisly prize. Golden glory spren appearing around him. Stormlight Archive Book 1, The Way of Kings Part 1, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2010, Brandon Sanderson. Recorded with the permission of the author and Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC Production. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2016, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication prohibited. Performed by Dylan Lynch, Robbie Gay, Casey Platt, Andy Clements, Tim Getman, Zoe Bedovinic, Mort Shelby, Drew Kopis, Nora Ashrati, Evan Casey, Christopher Sheeran, Christopher Walker, Bradley Smith, Mahbood Ibrahimzadeh, Michael Glenn, Michael John Casey, Terrence Azelford, Thomas Penny, Matthew Keenan, James Konacek, Richard Rowan, Stephen Carpenter, Colleen Delaney, Thomas Keegan, Scott McCormick, Eric Messner, Sasha Olenek, Bob Payne, Chris Davenport, Christopher Graybill, Andy Brownstein, Tony Nam, David Harris, Ken Jackson, Marnie Penning, Jacob Ye, Jeff Allen, Patrick Bussink, Rose Elizabeth Supan, Yasmin Toison, Nick DePinto, Kimberly Gilbert, and Tim Pabone. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rose Elizabeth Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Johann Detweiler. Theme music and original music by Johann Detweiler. Book adapted for graphic audio by Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed the Stormlight Archive Book 1, The Way of Kings, be sure to listen to Brandon Sanderson's Elantris, Warbreaker, and Mistborn. All available in graphic audio at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our action pump titles as well as free downloads and podcasts. Now, keep listening for exciting previews of other titles in graphic audio.
Can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for? Go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can select from over 900 titles and 60 series in either CD or high-quality download formats. If you would like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase the whole sets on CD or USB flash drive from graphicaudio.net. At graphicaudio.net, you can now earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable toward future online purchases. You can also get full mobile downloads directly to your phone or tablet with our new Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices, so you can listen on the go, anytime, anywhere. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our email newsletter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter.